Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Equal justice under law. Justice Sotomayor's nomination gets faith for those words.
It has been a part of the court's jurisprudence and a part of its precedents. Those precedents must be given deference in any situation that arises before the court.
Unless you have a complete meltdown, you're going to get confirmed. And I don't think you will.
Sounds from the Senate confirmation hearings of Judge Sonia Sotomayor. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 14th. We're going to have a discussion on this confirmation hearings with someone who will actually be testifying Thursday before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Charmaine Yost. After that, we'll conclude our series with Dr. Kim Riddleberger on end times teachings. Today, we'll talk about Israel and Bible prophecy, the real place of Israel and Bible prophecy, and then, of course, tie up some loose strings at the end of this series on end times teachings with Dr. Kim Riddleberger. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 14th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Charmaine Yost is president of Americans United for Life, based in Washington. She'll be testifying Thursday before the Senate Judiciary Committee in the confirmation hearings of Judge Sonia Sotomayor. Charmaine, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, it's good to be with you.
You're going to have limited time. You're going to have, as I take it, perhaps the only opportunity to bring the pro-life voice in these hearings by way of testimony. If you leave one idea, one thought with the senators there on that committee about Judge Sotomayor, what will it be?
It's really easy, Todd. A vote for Judge Sotomayor is a vote for unrestricted abortion on demand with no regulation whatsoever. Basically, we are concerned that it appears that she has a personal feeling about abortion, a track record of abortion advocacy that would lead her towards tending towards writing the Freedom of Choice Act into the Constitution.
I want to come back to that in a moment, but I think, at least the way it's being portrayed in the press, it looks like this is a done deal, that she will be confirmed. As Lindsey Graham said, she'd pretty much have to have a meltdown in order to mess this one up. Can you talk me out of that position?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that the external political realities are pretty challenging when it comes to if you're going to count noses. But when you're talking about looking at the future of our Supreme Court and which direction we're going to go, whether we're going to, you know, stick with the foundational principle of equal justice under the law, or whether we're going to move into accepting this whole school of thought called, quote-unquote, legal realism, where the Constitution means whatever each individual jurist decides on any given day that they think it does, that's a fight that's worth getting up for in the morning, no matter what the outcome looks like it might be. I understand and can count noses as well as the next person. But this is a fight that has to do with principle over politics.
Is Judge Sotomayor better or worse on the abortion issue than the justice she is slated to replace, Souter?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, because as we got into this nomination question, we had a lot of people coming back to us and saying, look, it really isn't worth the fight because it's just a one-for-one substitution, that Judge Sotomayor is replacing someone who's been a consistent defender of abortion rights. We have a website out called Sotomayor 411 that includes a chart that compares Justice Souter's record with Judge Sotomayor's record on abortion issues. And what you'll find in comparing the two is there's a very, very dramatic difference between the two. During her time serving, in fact, just this afternoon, Senator Graham asked Judge Sotomayor about her time serving with what people are calling PRLDEF, the Puerto Rican Legal Defense and Education Fund. She served for over a decade on their board of directors, and during that time period, she was involved with six cases that went forward to the Supreme Court arguing for very, very radical extremist abortion rights, including opposition to common sense regulations like informed consent, parental notification, bans on partial birth abortion, all of these things that the vast majority of American people do support.
So if she's out of the mainstream with her opinions on abortion, even if she doesn't have an official record, so to speak, on those things from the bench, is she pretty much in line with the current administration on those issues?
Well, that's part of the challenge, isn't it, is trying to find out whether or not she perceives herself as a super legislator and sort of an extension of the White House policy shop. The real issue is looking at her in a totality. Some people are pushing back and saying, well, you know, she doesn't have a whole lot of a record on the life issues as it relates to her jurisprudence. While that's partially true, she did have two cases that were tangentially related to the life issue in which she upheld precedent. The problem is that when elevated to the highest court, she's not similarly bound and obligated to respect precedent in quite the same way. Obviously, it's a guiding philosophy, but on the Supreme Court, you are the one who reviews and sets precedent. So given that kind of a track record that doesn't tell us a whole lot about what her opinions might be on the life issue, you have to look at everything that she said. And she has said some things that are very, very troubling, including my favorite quote has to do with her talking about bringing one's creative juices to the jurisprudential process. Well, you know, frankly, I find that to be just downright frightening.
All right, then. If, in fact, she is confirmed, she's also a rather young woman, and that means a lifetime appointment. What could her tenure, especially in the first 4 to 8 years, presumed 2 terms of President Barack Obama, what could it mean for a change in the court on the issues of life if she's confirmed?
You know, one of the things that's really critical, going back to this question of a one-for-one substitution, I think we have to be careful any time of just characterizing someone kind of loosely as a liberal or, you know, seeing their ideology as being interchangeable. Because the truth of the matter is that each individual person is so important in terms of what they bring to a court, because cases are decided in large measure by the debates that the justices have among one another. When they go back away and start to consider what the decision is going to be, who gets assigned the task of writing an individual decision, and then the arguments that they lay out for posterity. And as we said, precedent is extremely important in Supreme Court decision-making. So I think that Justice Sotomayor has a huge, huge horizon of influence moving forward on our Supreme Court.
You said something about enshrining the certain anti-life legislation in the Constitution. What did you mean by that, Charmaine?
Well, the challenge is that her record with the Puerto Rican Legal Defense Fund really does focus on this question of elevating abortion to a fundamental right. And I think it's really kind of important to focus in on this because, you know, I think that at this point, after, you know, 30 years of Roe v. Wade, we kind of have this idea, and of course the so-called women's groups tend to further this idea that somehow abortion already is a fundamental right. But the truth of the matter is we do have the ability to regulate and restrict abortion to a certain degree. It has not yet been kind of canonized, if you will, in the Constitution at the same level as something like freedom of religion or the freedom of speech. We still are able to restrict it and to regulate it. And so that is part of our concern, is that we are seeing an agenda reflected from these Puerto Rican Legal Defense Fund amicus briefs, where there's a real, real objective to elevate abortion up to a plane of being a fundamental right.
Some have suggested, Charmaine, that given the fact that she may be farther to the left than Souter was, that her presence on the court would perhaps kind of have the opposite effect. Those who are on the fence on certain issues would lean a little more conservatively, for lack of a better word, because she would represent something a little sharper left than Souter. What do you think of that theory?
Well, it's an interesting hypothesis. I do think that people need to be realistic about understanding that eventually, any time that you want to make a move forward on life issue and overturning Roe, we're going to need to have a pretty solid block, a voting block to affect great change. But I wouldn't underestimate the power that one individual person can have on the Supreme Court.
Finally, then, if we see a Justice Sotomayor on the court, what it will be perhaps the first thing that she would be called upon to rule on with the rest of the justices that has to do with the life issue?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's an interesting question, too, because today she was asked by one of the senators whether or not she believes that Roe v. Wade was settled law, and she replied that, in fact, she did. And that's one of the issues that we'll be addressing in our testimony is, combating this idea, contradicting this idea that Roe has been settled. If there is a piece of American jurisprudence at this point that is anything but settled, it would be Roe v. Wade. We've seen just a continual challenge to that piece of law, and so I have no doubt that there will be quite a few opportunities for her to be addressing abortion regulations in the days ahead.
Folks, you'll find a link to Americans United for Life under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Charmaine Yost is president of Americans United for Life, based in Washington, and she'll be testifying Thursday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Charmaine, good luck.
Thank you so much. It's always good to be with you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger. We've got a lot of loose strings to tie up when it comes to end times teachings, but we got to answer this question. If Israel isn't the center of Bible prophecy, what is the center of Bible prophecy, and what of Israel in Bible prophecy? Our series on the end times concludes after this with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. www.facebook.com.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.